Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us and follow us on all of the social media outlets. My guest today is Angela Hertz De Pasquale, the executive director of La Scuola d'Italia, Galileo Galilei, an Italian language school, which promotes the Italian language, culture, and history in Pittsburgh. And it was founded in 2014. So we've got 10 years under our belt. Angela, welcome to the show.
Buongiorno, grazie. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to learning about the school that you have out there. But first, tell us about your background, you know, where you're from, where the family's from, and all that.
Yeah. So my mom's side of the family is from Gamberale in Abruzzo. It's in the mountains.
Where exactly? What province?
So Chieti.
Okay, small town.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's in the middle of nowhere, except a lot of people who are from there know where it is.
Right. No, I understand.
It's a ski town. Yeah, they only have about maybe 100 people who live there, or at least claim to live there.
Really? It's that small?
It's that small.
Wow.
Yeah, most of the people came to Pittsburgh. Actually, it was one of my great-great-grandfathers, Gaetano Di Iulis, who kind of started it, and everybody else from the town started to follow after that. So he came in the late 1800s, and then everybody else just kind of packed in. And so there's pictures of Pittsburgh in the town. It's actually really interesting. And there's a big connection.
Like a big direct connection from that town.
Yeah.
What's like the closest bigger town that might be more well-known?
Oh, gosh. Teramo.
Okay. Yes, I've heard of it.
There is... also, it's not going to come to me right now, but there's this famous, the confetti that are made in Abruzzo. It's about 40 minutes.
Can I help you with that answer?
Yeah, you can help me with that.
Sumona, okay, that is Sumona.
Right? Yes.
It's Sumona. And the reason I know all that, because my father's family's from about 20 minutes from Sumona in a small town called Bunyada, in the province of L'Aquila.
Okay.
So yeah, I know. I was in Sumona less than a year ago. Beautiful city. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. So I went in 2000. I had a really strange adventure. My friend and I, we took the train system. We were going from Rome. My grandparents told me it's 2 hours from Rome. It's really easy to get to. So we decided to take the train. And this woman pulled out this huge book because I kept saying Gambriel, and she's going, honey, non penso che esista, right? I don't think that exists. And I'm going, what? My family says we're from there. So she looks in this huge book and she finds Gambriel and she's like, I think this is it. And she told us how to get there. And it took us 2 days. We took
2 days.
Yes. We took a train from Rome to Chieti. We were supposed to take a bus from Chieti directly to Gambarale. And the people in the town told us the bus didn't exist anymore. So then we took a train from Chieti to Lanciano. And then we took Lanciano to Gambarale. And the weirdest thing was we got on a train from Lanciano to Gambarale that was a two-car train. And it was from the 20s. It was like those wooden seat cars, and I just felt like I was it was amazing because I felt like I was in the time of my great-grandfather, and I was going, okay, this is what he had to do to get out of here, and this is what I'm doing to get back in, right? And we got to the bottom, we got off the train, we got to the, it was at the bottom of the town, and I called, at just at the time I had an Italian cell phone, and I called my grandmother in the States, and I said, all right, I'm at the bottom of the hill. What do I do? She said, go knock. There's a house there. Go knock on the door. She said, they're related to us. Tell them where you want to go. They'll find, and they did. They called somebody from up the town, Giuseppe or something, drove down and drove us up to the top. And then we got to the top and they said, why didn't you take the bus from Chieti? And I just wanted to scream.
Was
but
that
I got to have
trip?
That train experience.
Was that your
that
first
train
trip to Italy?
Experience, yeah, I really reflected on that. I thought, geez, this is the train my great-grandfather took.
Wow, yes, yes. Well, in defense, whoever told you the first time, last May, I flew to Rome from Chicago. And like they said, I got on a train in Rome and went to Sulmona. And they're pretty much right. It's like 2 hours train ride from Rome to Sulmona. Yeah, I mean, it should be. It's basically.
Yeah, it took us 2 days. It took
wow.
us.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was an experience. It was kind of going backwards in history. I felt like I was kind of retracing my great grandfather's steps. And then the ironic thing was the at some point, the train, the tracks got destroyed. And so it doesn't even run anymore. They haven't been able to repair it, I think, since maybe the mid-2000s. Yeah. So a couple of years after we went there, it no longer is a way to get in and out. So you really have to drive. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are born and raised in Pittsburgh, correct?
Yes.
And apparently it seems like your entire town in Italy pretty much lives in Pittsburgh, right? So you kind of had a upbringing amongst all these paisani. Is that correct?
Yeah. So my family kind of hovered in Panther Hollow, which is a part of Oakland, where those from Abruzzo, basically from Gambarale or from Pizzeferrato, which is another town over, they basically took over that area. And then they slowly moved into Oakland. And then I kind of grew up in another neighborhood nearby, but I was always at my grandparents' house. And then my grandfather had, he was one of five and my grandmother was one of eight. So there were lots of aunts and uncles, you know, who were kind of, they were all Italian. I mean, even though they were born in the States, they all grew up very Italian. The one thing was they used the language to talk about secrets. So I actually didn't learn Italian as a child. I kind of heard it a little bit, but I really learned it as an adult. I took it in college. I had some advisors actually who tried to get me to test out of Spanish and not take any language at all. And I, testa dura that I am, hard head, I said, no, I want to learn Italian. And so that was my main thing. And then I basically went and lived there for 2 years after college. That's when I went to Gambarale for the first time. And that's actually when I decided it didn't matter who I was going to marry. I said, I'm going to get married here one day. In
so
2013.
You lived for a couple of years in the town?
Not in Gambarale. I lived in Florence. Yeah.
Oh, Florence. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I lived in Florence. Yeah. But I went to visit the town. And that's when I decided that I wanted to get married there. And in 2013, my husband and I, he's from Puglia. He's actually, his family is from Bari.
From Bari.
His mom is from Lecce, area, Squinzano. And I met him in Pittsburgh. Ironically enough, I was teaching Italian at the University of Pittsburgh. And he came to one of our tavola italiana that we have with the students, and I met him, and we became friends. And then, you know, obviously it developed into something more. And so when we were ready to get married, his family wanted us to get married in Puglia. And I said, well, traditionally, right, you always get, even in Italia, you get married where the spouse, right, where the wife is from,
right,
the bride, the sposa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, we have two choices here. We get married in Gambarale or we get married in Pittsburgh. And they chose Gambarale. And I said, good choice. And that's
okay. Well, good for you. That's great.
That was a good choice for them and for me.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Okay. So then the school, was started in 2014. So
yeah.
Is this, because I'm a little confused, is it like, is this like a, you have a building and you have an actual brick and mortar place, or is this something more
so,
like an online thing?
We have a rental space right now. And actually, since 2018, I have been looking at buildings, and we have been trying to find a building to grow into an elementary school and a middle school. Right now, in 2014, we started out of just kind of using spaces and like we were using another school space, we were borrowing space, right? We were doing adult programs, children after school, Saturday programs. We were just really heavy on a lot of free stuff also to the community to kind of get people interested in what we were doing. We still do a lot of free things because we are a nonprofit, but obviously the pandemic made a lot of that very, very difficult. You know, so we used to show Italian film nights for educational purposes. We used to group conversations in person. We used to do art history or history presentations. We would have experts come in and present. We have, you know, kind of had to limit a lot of that because we don't have a huge space. We have a space that we opened up our daycare preschool, and then we have a smaller apartment space where we were doing our adult program, and we were able to do cooking demonstrations, and we were able to do other activities, and we were starting to do our group conversations there and things like that. But it's such a small space, and thanks to the pandemic, everybody was nervous about going back to that small space. So the kids program, the early learning center, we work with ages 1 to 5, but once they're 5, they go off to kindergarten, maybe they'll do our after school program, you know, but we're learning in 7 years of running this, right? Because we opened in 2017. So we've been doing that for almost 7 years. We're learning that we're losing the kids as they get older because parents just can't drive them back and forth from wherever they're going to school. You know, and so we really want to get our own building. We want to do the elementary school. We want to do the middle school in that new building. We want to bring back all those programs that we used to do for free. So we used to do an amazing sort of theater program, actually, where we would do storytelling. So just imagine, you know, Cappuccetto Rosso, right? Little Red Riding Hood. And the children would act out the roles after they watched us act them out. And it was amazing because some of the kids knew no Italian, but they knew the lines that they needed to say when it was their turn, when they were the Lupo or when they were Cappuccetto Rosso. And it was just amazing to watch, even the little kids. So we would love to get back to those programs and have our own space to do those things. And we also want it to be a place, not like a history center, because there is like the Heinz History Center here in Pittsburgh that does a lot, but we want to have a place where we can memorialize the Italians who came through. So families can put up plaques, can put up paintings, can say these were the people who came through who were Italian, who influenced the United States or who influenced Pittsburgh. And then the kids, as they walk to class, will see those paintings and those plaques and read them and say, hey, that was my great-grand, or hey, you know, I think that might have been my uncle. And they can see how important, right, those people influenced.
Sure. So you would like to inspire them and yes. And add some pride to the young people.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'm all about that. Hey, let me ask you, because I'm a little confused. So hoping to have like this elementary, now, would you mean that the kids would come during the day or everything during the day? So it would be like an actual
program. Yep.
Accredited elementary school.
Yeah.
Damn, that's awesome. That's, I like that. I mean, that's a great,
there are only two schools that I know of throughout the U.S. There's one in California and there's one in New York, and that is it. So as far as I know, we would be the third Italian bilingual school opening in the United States, as far as I'm aware of.
And you're talking K through 8?
Yes.
Okay. We have in Chicago.
But you have something.
No, we have something. It's not completely. It's something like through fourth grade or something okay. like that. And I'll be honest with you. And I mean, I'm really involved in the Chicago mm-hmm. Italian American community, like really involved. They started it. It's kind of like way in the city. And I kind of get the impression it's more for like, people that maybe work for the consul general's office and they're only mm-hmm. here for a short stint. That kind of that's who they're attracting. I really yeah. don't know any of us that like sent their kids there. Like I said, I think it's only K through four. So mm-hmm. that is a tremendous vision. And I mean, I tip my hat to you and I hope it could happen. That would be tremendous. I mean,
I hope so too.
I'm
I
sure
always, I always joke and tell my husband, I say, you know, when this is all said and done, because we really want to do a pre-K through 12, ultimately. So we want to offer that international baccalaureate. So those who in the future want to go back to Europe or Italy, pay less for college, they will have that certification, right? They'll have that baccalaureate. So their high school diploma would be equal to that, right? So they would be able to study without taking any tests, without doing that whole difficult process. They would already qualify to be able to study there. Because I think one of the things that we have seen and we've been watching is the increase in tuition in universities here in the United States. And, you know, we have a 10-year-old son and we think about it all the time. He needs to be bilingual because if he's going to go to Italy, he's an Italian citizen. If he's going to go to Italy to study in the university, you know, and pay just the taxes,
sure.
he needs to be fluent, right?
That's
he needs to be able to do that. And he needs to be able to understand, right, how the process works in that education system, too, because it's definitely different than, you know, how we learn here.
Oh. When you you say we, is that you have a couple partners? Is that your husband involved with you?
So my husband is a PhD molecular biologist by day.
Wow. Okay.
And by night, he is the director of finance and technology for the school.
Okay.
And then we also have one of our co-founders who's a lawyer, and his name is Derek Ilar Antonucci. And it was actually Ilari, but they took off the I, so it's he had both sides were from Italy. And my husband's from Italy, like I said. Derek is also a dual citizen, right? So our mission really started with this idea that we would make a pre-K through 12 and we would give that education back to the students, especially bilingualism or even, you know, learning more than one language. Because I grew up where, you know, I think my family was afraid a little bit to teach me Italian because they were discriminated against. And I know they were, right? They were afraid to talk about it, but they did every once in a while. But they were afraid to teach us Italian because they didn't want us to be discriminated against. And I think it got to the point where, you know, you self-reflect on that and you say to yourself, I had an opportunity that I could have learned a language from them. I could have learned more than just the culture, right? Because I had the food, I had the culture, I had that aspect of it. But I never had the language aspect of it except for the bad words or something that my cousins taught, you know, everybody knew the bad words. And I think you get to the point where you say to yourself, you know, why we see other communities that are maintaining their languages and they're maintaining their cultures and their language. Why are the Italians letting it go? Right. And I think that, you know, the three of us got together and we said, let's do this. Let's see if we can bring it back. And I've actually had people in the community tell me, oh, Angela, it's too late. And I'm going to tell you, it's never too late.
Never too late.
I learned this. I have children of Italian Americans who the parents are taking lessons with us and then their kids are in our school.
Sure.
And so the parents are using Italian with their kids. So we are bringing it back.
When you make this school, you got to put on the sign, non è mai troppo tardi.
Non è mai troppo tardi. I'm going to do that.
Yes.
I love that.
No,
I
good
love
for
that.
You. That's tremendous. And that's great.
Yeah.
And I agree with you 100%. The language is such a huge aspect of it, because I always say personally, language is culture. And culture is language, and we can't, you know, we cannot lose the language, and we do, and it's a shame.
We do.
And thank God you're
very
you're,
easily in one generation. Yes.
Oh, easily. And thank God that you're doing something about that to stop it. Now, if I understand correctly, though, you also part of the school does teach adults and does have adult activities, correct?
We do. Yeah, we have a pretty large adult program. It fluctuates, but we typically have between 80 and 100 adult students, actually.
Wow, that's great.
So our classes get pretty full. We max them out at 15. Most studies show that more than, 15 to 18 is a good average in a class size. Online, though, we've maxed them out at like 11, because online is just a different story. I've had to modify everything thanks to the pandemic.
Now you do a lot of in-person classrooms with the adults?
We did. But that's that little space that I mentioned that nobody wants to really go back to. So everybody's kind of waiting for us to get this new building so that we can start doing things in person again. Because it's a three-bedroom apartment. I mean, you imagine a three-bedroom apartment.
Right. No.
There's one room smaller than the other. I mean, we really had space for about 10 students in each classroom, and they really, really were just on top of each other. I mean, nobody wants to go back to that. But I think that people have also found the convenience of doing things at home, right, and online. But it's also opened us up to a different market. So I have students in New York. I have had students in Chicago. I've had students across the U.S. because they're able, and from D.C., because they're able to call in to me now, as opposed to before it was just, Pittsburgh and local, and nobody really thought, hey, can we do this online thing?
Sure. I did notice on your website, it said on the calendar, like Saturday's group conversation and book club.
Yes.
What is that exactly?
Yes. So that's part of the free program that we created from the beginning. They're online now. So really anybody can call in we do ask people to sign up for the membership, but the membership is free. So it's really just to kind of keep track of who our members are. If they're Italian citizens or not, so we kind of communicate with the Italian consulate because they like to know if we're offering services to Italians, right, versus, just Americans. And so we offer that. It's usually twice a month on Saturdays, and they're usually right after each other. And those are the things that we used to do in the space that we used to rent elsewhere when we used to do the presentations and the movies and everything else that we used to do. We used to get a nice group sometimes of 20, 25 people who would come, just to practice. And some Italians would come, just to talk to people. We used to do Scopa and Briscola, and we would teach people how to play the card games, and then Italians would come and play, with them, the ones who knew how to play already. So there's a lot more to what we, what we're offering right now. There's a lot more to it that we used to do that we would love to get back to doing. Yeah.
So ultimately you would like a school, but you also, it's a type of a learning environment.
A cultural, we called it a cultural association at the beginning, right? It was a school and a cultural association. The cultural association offers those free things, right? And maybe has parties or celebrations. But I think at the end of the day, those things were important, and we are trying to maintain them, because the adults who are taking the classes, if we honestly talk, one day a week is good, but if you have a second day where you're able to be around somebody who can help you with the language, it's even more. And so we offer that to everyone for free, right? So they can be in the classes. It's pretty inexpensive for the classes. It's like $200 for 15 lessons, so we really keep it cost effective. And then we offer the Saturday, the group conversation, anyone can participate, and they can tell him, I just like to listen. I just want to listen to what everybody says. And then the book club is really for the more advanced students, or just, people who speak Italian, right, or who are, have been speaking it for a while and want to talk about, you know, a book that they're all reading together.
Oh, so the book is in Italian, the book, not...
The book is in Italian, yep.
Oh, okay.
The book is in Italian, and then they talk in Italian, yep.
Oh, okay. I was envisioning something of like a book about, you know, a subject of Italian Americans or something, and then you just kind of discussed it. Okay. Yeah.
It's actually in Italian. Yeah. So that's more for the advanced, you know, individuals, probably intermediate and up, you know, who really just want to continue to improve and practice. And we find that literature is one of those ways, right? You can talk about a story. You know, now obviously we're not reading Dante, we're not reading Petrarca, we're not reading Boccaccio. You know, that's old Italian. It's like reading Chaucer and then saying to somebody, you know, you learned Italian, now learn the old Italian, and now let's talk about it.
Yeah, that's
we talk about things. More modern.
Sure, books, sure.
Right? Things that, you know, are being written today. They might be in the present tense. They might be in the past tense. So it's easier for them to read, right? And then they can talk about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And do
and
you
they
find...
don't do just, sorry, they don't do just, like, it's not just one session with the book. They might read, like, the first 30 pages, and then they'll talk about it. And then they'll read, you know, another 30 pages and talk about it. It's not...
Right.
It's
right.
not a whole book in a month.
Oh, no, I get it. Do you find, like, is the, I don't know, the Italian community of Pittsburgh, like, is it helpful, involved? Is it something, do they want you to grow, so to speak?
Yes, I think so. You know, I think that we have lost a lot of people in the community. Right, that older generation of Italians, we have lost them. I mean, there are still some alive, right? But that World War II generation is really just really, really low, and you know, and there aren't many of them left. That I mean, most of my family is that generation is gone. You know, so you get to that point where you start thinking about them, and what would they think about this? You know, how would they feel about this? And that's really what inspires me. And I mean, that's where I get the goosebumps and I feel the motivation. And I say, okay, I'm doing this. And I'm doing this not just for me. I'm doing this for everybody, right? It's time that Italians start standing up and saying, we are Italian. Let's be proud of it instead of hiding it and not speaking and not learning our language, right? Because it's a part of our culture. Because honestly, if you go to Italy, they will tell you, if you don't speak Italian, you are not Italian, even if you have citizenship. And this is the hardest thing to say, because it's not me saying it, it's them saying it. You know, if you don't speak the language, doors close on you, right? If you speak the language, then they're very open to say, oh, okay, even if you're learning, they're fine about that. But they say, if you really think and believe you're Italian, then speak it, then say it, right? And I
and
think
the flip
that we
side
get,
is the flip side, if I may interrupt, if you don't know how to speak any of it,
yeah.
then they're saying you can't say you're Italian, correct?
Exactly.
Wow.
Even though it's iuris sanguis, it's from the blood, right? I've, you know, we help, one of the things that we do that we don't put on our website, we don't publish it, but we do help people with the process of dual citizenship, if they want to go. We help with the translations. We do inexpensive translations because we believe that, you know, people shouldn't be, I don't want to say taking advantage of them, but, you know, it's something that we're able to offer and we're able to do. We have a translator who does it in-house, right? So, and once they have an outline, most of those documents are pretty much the same. So, you know, we do $10 to $20 a page. And if you've ever gone to a translator, they're $50 to $100 a page. We don't do that stuff. We, you know, we want to help people go through the process. We want to help. We will write Italy for people for free. And that's why we don't promote it, because I don't need 100 people calling me all at once to say, oh, I want my free services. You know, because we don't have the manpower to do that, but we do. We will call Italy, you know, if it's a free phone call, on WhatsApp or something, we will free call for them. You know, it's a pleasure for us to do those things to help people. But at the same time, you know, I do know that Italians will look at them and say, do you speak Italian? How, you know, like, you're fully a citizen if you speak the language to them.
Well, wow. With the movie Cabrini coming out, you guys are like saints yourselves. I mean, you're really, this is incredible. Free this, free that, help with this, help with that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we do.
It's really great.
That's why we don't promote it, because if we did, we'd have 50,000 people.
Oh, absolutely.
From all over the United States emailing us.
Oh, for sure. You can promote it.
And we don't have the manpower to do it. So.
That's just wonderful. Honest to God, you guys are doing great things. That's beautiful. How does people get a hold of you, in touch with you, take your courses? How do they do that?
Yes. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to email us at info@scuolagalileo@gmail.com. You know, or they can call the number on the website. But the easiest way to get a hold of us is by email to that email, info@scuolagalileo@gmail.com. Our asilo for the little kids is contact@asilogalileo.org. We kind of did two emails because then it just gets me. Who wants adult, you know, who wants family courses, who wants, you know, the little kids? And so we kind of separated it. So there's two different contacts. But if they go to our website, scuolagalileo.org, they'll find all the information needed. And it's linked to the asilo with, you know, the early learning center. They're all linked together. So, yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, Angela, awesome work you're doing. That's just, it really is great.
Yeah, it's good.
I especially like the part where you said about getting goosebumps. I was getting goosebumps listening to your story about your goosebumps.
I get very passionate. I'm a quiet person. I was very quiet as a child, but I get very passionate about this. And I think it's because I just have so much influence from my childhood, from all those aunts and uncles and my grandparents. I was really close to my grandparents, you know, so it's something important to me, but it's also important, I think, to the entire community. Because I know you asked me, you know, you said, is the community supportive? I would say yes. I mean, we just had a really big event. We actually, I don't know if you know Patrizio Buone, but we brought him here.
I am familiar with him, singer, yes.
Yeah, we brought him here from Europe. He did a concert for us, and we had almost 400 people attend in, you know, as a dinner and a concert and a fundraiser event. So it was a really nice event. You know, we'd like to do some more in the future, but the one thing that I noticed from that night is a lot of people said there were two things. One is they ran into everyone else that they knew in the community and they said, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in years, because it was right after it was like the end of the pandemic. Right. And so nobody had seen each other in a really long time. And so everybody was just so excited to get together. And then a lot of people told me, if you do this again, let me know. I want to participate, because this was the best night I've ever had in a really long time. And it reminded me how much fun our Italian heritage is, right? Because, I mean, Patrizio is just a great performer. So,
well, my philosophy always is build it and they shall come. So,
oh, yeah. Field of dreams.
Yes, it takes the yeah. one or the two to create it, to build it, and the people will come. So,
yeah.
Best of luck with your dreams there.
Exactly.
I hope you get that school. That would be great, but keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. From an Italian American, I say thank you. I mean that, because you're doing great work. You're doing the work for us, for our people, keeping it going. It's so important. So, Angela, thank you so much for the interview. But more importantly, thank you for all the work you're doing for us.
Yeah, Dave, thank you as well.